With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, driving passion for sport and communities throughout Ireland and abroad.
We may not be able to get in on the sporting action we're used to, but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their second year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers on their new and used vehicles, exclusive to all GAA club members. So now you can take home the win right to your door. Check out Renault.ie/JA to find out more.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi folks, how are y'all? We're later in the week this week, but happy Thursday to everybody out there, and hope you're enjoying the lovely, it's a bit colder, but it's lovely, and I think the forecast is very good right up to Sunday at least anyway, so Saturday, hopefully great day for the first of the semi-finals, and hopefully it'll hold for Sunday because we know Croke Park will obviously be in good shape. So you're welcome along to the Examiner Hurling Podcast in association with Renault. Thanks very much to everybody today. We again, TJ, Larry, Mark, and we're delighted to be joined from the Marble City by Brian Hogan. How's things, Hoggy?
All right, Dello. All good.
Good man. Hoggy, feeling confident?
Yeah. We're always quietly confident up this part of the country.
Been off out of, like, I know we're in lockdown now, but it'd be an awful lot of water for people working in Kilkenny and vice versa.
I'd say if you ask a water person, they'd say more vice versa. It tends to be more like Kilkenny people going home to Waterford working.
The southeast.
South Kilkenny, like you, Munlavat, Ballyhale, Munkine, you know, all the way came to Cowall, and they all, you know, there's huge crossover there between marriages and work and the whole lot. So there's always great banter anytime, you know, we play at Waterford, and you'd always see the South lads, you know, it could be they'd be nearly an extra spring in their step when they're playing Waterford, you know, because. You know, again, lots of lads that go to college down there and whatever else, so they know each other so well, and you know, it'll be right. There'll be great crack, all right.
That's always depending on what part of the county you're from as well, isn't it, lads? Like, I suppose TJ for you would be Tip rather than Clare, even, and the lads in the city probably be Clare rather than Tip. You know, the same with us. I mean, the fellas from North Clare, Tubber, and that, like, it's always Galway. You know. The dynamic is different depending on what part of the county you're touching on.
Correct. Because even like for us, it's definitely Tipperary. But I was even up an event in Thomas's there before. I was kind of in the north side of Galway. I was kind of saying, geez, wouldn't it be great if Mayo could win another Ireland football? And it was like treated with disdain, practically. So it's definitely the neighbours. I think you referred to them before, Dale. It was noisy neighbours. It's nice to keep them like just reasonably quiet, isn't it?
Yeah. And your noisy neighbours now are a confirmed football county as well after the weekend.
After the weekend, yeah. Good to see him wearing the green and white. Obviously, he brought him plenty of luck. But fantastic win for them. It was just a great weekend for football in terms of Kevin and Tipperary, obviously. So it's a very open-ish field to it if we could just move the Dubs out to one side. Like the rest of it's kind of nice and open. And it would be. I don't have anything against Dublin football. Obviously, they're an incredible team. But it wouldn't be just an amazing year if one of the other three won the football.
Yeah. We Mark, I heard you had a substantial sum on the double, 10-1 and 5-1, Kevin
and Tipperary. Yeah, just had a small bit of an interest on it, just being the year that's in it. I mean, a good friend of mine, Ray Ratchford, who's been involved with me since I was under 12, actually, he was manager of the under 12 team in 84 when we won the county. But he said to me 6 weeks ago, I said, there are seven teams left in it in the football championship. And he said, would you believe that four of them played in the semi-final? So we had a small little tenner each, a tenner double on the two of them, 5-1 and 8-1. So it was a great little interest that the chances of the four teams coming out again in 100 years later. So there you go, Dale. I was roaring at the television.
Dale, I didn't get that memo. Did you get that one, did you?
No. And I'll tell you, if he fell out of Burton's window, he'd land in a suit this year.
Hold on a while now.
If I was Kieran Kingston, I'd be getting on the blower to get you in for 2022 straight away. I hope you're doing a lot of numbers because, by Jesus, I'll tell you,
Yeah.
Whatever you touch is turned to gold.
Oh, so Camille. So look, you have to keep trying, Della. Keep
trying. That's it. We had enough hard days in the bank, the two of us, and we nothing.
By God, we did. By God, we're after setting sail. You've gone down the media way, but I have to continue in the finance side of things. There's still a few farmers still out there, Della, that have a few quid, like, you know, that need to part with it. So, you know, and if especially now they're all under one milking at the moment now.
You go away with you. There's farmers out there that are stacking it up at the moment between PUP and carrying on everything. Is Donny managing okay out there, TJ? Too slow, 2-4.
It was a good story last week. That got a bit of traction, didn't it? But he's quiet at the moment. And to go back to what Mark said about the farmers in general, they're not doing that much giving out. So that'll kind of probably tell you its own story, isn't it?
But their whole weekends are taken up on a Saturday and Sunday with the GAA, and you'd have to take your hats off to the way the whole year has panned out now, that the GAA has become a critical thing for people at the weekend on Saturdays
and
Sundays.
Huge.
Even for ourselves there now, we had a bit of misfortune here in the house with being close contacts. I was in close contacts, so it's locked down. And the Saturdays and the Sundays the last couple of weeks, last 2 weeks, have been just unreal, like, to be able to throw yourself down and right up to the Sunday game at the end of the weekend, like, it's really something to look forward to. And even when we've been on late in the week, lads, all the messages we've got on Twitter and private messages, like, you know, shout out there to Patrick McGilligate and Atlaca there. TJ, he said he's getting too much work done this week. You ever hear of a Limerick man getting too much work done?
Too much done. Okay.
Well, great messages from our regulars. And look, lads, the football is the football, and we have to allow for it a little bit as well. There is a nice bit of interest in it besides Kilkenny. Lads, we'll have to have a look back. I suppose, does Ken Hogan flagged it for us, I suppose, when I questioned maybe the early games in the provinces. And he just said, like, you know, we had for knockouts, Dillo, and the provincial finals as well. I suppose he did. And I guess the standard has been ramped and ramped every week we've gone on. And last weekend, no doubt about it, like, it went through the roof nearly on Saturday, didn't it? On a fairly soggy Gaelic grounds. Now, under the Mackie Stand side, TJ, again, that bit is always soggy, isn't it? Come this time of the year, there's nothing you can do about that, really, with the shadow. But they served up classic again, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a great match, great finish to it, and obviously it ebbed and flowed, and, you know, a great game for Galway to win. They went 6 points down in that second half at 2:15 to 2:09, and it didn't look great from at the time. Yeah, I would agree with what you're saying there. Even though the pitch in general was pretty good, it does get soft there. And look, I was frustrated myself watching the game at times in the first half there, right, between the sun and the shadow and the cameras. And then I was trying to find out where certain players were playing, and the TV wasn't telling me, and then they were telling me players that were wrong players and everything like that. So I was frustrated during that first half. It improved in the second half. But to go back to the match, great game for Galway to win. There was probably maybe even an argument that they didn't play as well as they did in the Leinster final, but the bottom line for them is they won, and that was the key thing. And what I will say is, towards the end of the game, at 2 points down, Aidan Hart showed the kahunas. Like, they were 2 points down, you probably would have taken a point at that stage to come back. It wasn't a gimme goal chance, no, it probably wasn't. It was an easy point, but great goal. That was the platform to go on and win the game, and it sets them up beautifully for the semi-final the coming week.
It does, yeah. And I suppose there was a bit of controversy in it, Brian, you know, with obviously Kyle Barrett. There mightn't have been too much sympathy for him down north side after last year's All-Ireland, but I mean, the first yellow was just too quick a reaction from Johnny Griffin, wasn't it? I mean, I know they do it to set down markers, and I said it in my piece, you know, I think, you know, Ryan O'Dwyer was always one for me that he used to get a yellow nearly for nothing most games, like, you know, just to put the mockers on him and the warnings on him, but it cost you maybe sometimes, and I suppose it did cost Tip a fair bit. Now, in fairness, I think the goal was more significant than the extra men, but of course the extra men was probably led to the goal as well, and that Aidan Hart was able to get up the field. But definitely the first soft yellow was it's hard going if you get it, especially as a defender, isn't it?
Yeah, look, exactly. You get an early yellow, you know, it puts you're on the edge for the rest of the game. You have to, you know, you're walking a tight line. And I think, you know, it was interesting. I just thought some of the decisions were a bit, you know, it was a bit quick on the whistle. You know, I mean, I remember early on in the match, Dahi Burke caught a ball over Canlan and he blew him for, you know, and gave a free in for nothing as far as I could see. I mean, I don't know how you can contest the high ball without having contact. and he claimed that Doughty was using the hurl. I mean, there were a couple of instances like that. And, you know, look, I thought he officiated the game, you know, pretty well. But I just wonder, with the lack of a crowd, you know, one or two decisions like that and the crowd would be going mad, you know, because you want to let the match flow. And, you know, it might have, that's where the influence of the crowd comes in, particularly in the Gaelic grounds where you're in the top of the players, you know, and they'd be pulling their hair out. And would he have been as quick then to give out, you know, yellow cards and that kind of thing? I don't know. But regardless, I mean, yeah, look, Cottle Barrett, he was on a yellow. It was a wild second stroke. You know, I thought it was, you know, it was needless. It definitely had an impact because Aidan Hart popped up right in Cottle Barrett's zone, if you like, to score the goal, you know. So it certainly had an impact. There won't be a huge amount of sympathy down the kick anyway. No, I mean, we were on the receiving end of it last year, to be honest. But it's, you know, it's one of those ones. Like, I have to reference Aidan Hart. You know, he's been some soldier, given some service to Galway, and he's gone. He's hugely underrated. I mean, I would have marked him. I think he would have started for Galway in the forwards. You know, but he's on the last couple of years, he's been immense for Galway in the backs. He's been very consistent. And I suppose it just shows you the kind of the confidence of the guy himself, and I suppose the evolution of hurling in general, where your cornerback can pop up 20 yards out from goal and score effectively, you know, the decisive score of the game, you know. And as TJ has mentioned, the easiest thing, and I know I would have probably just tapped over the bar and ran back into the position. So, you know, it shows the game management from his perspective. He knew that you know, a big score at that stage was going to be decisive, and to be able to execute that as well was serious.
Yeah, Mark, and the goals over the weekend were huge, weren't they? And we always, you know, we'd be doing a bit of coaching, and we'd be always on. We'd even get the goalie to talk to the forwards about, lads, what type of shot do you not want to get here?
Yeah,
and the goalie will say straight out, lads, will you keep it low, even if it's not a great shot?
Yeah,
geez, for Hart to have the presence of mind to execute it that way was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like both the Aidan Hart goal and also the goal against the Waterford for Stephen O'Keefe, I think, went down fairly early as well. He looked like he was trying to scoop the ball away and save it at the same time. But I mean, there was fantastic goals over the two games that were played, Anthony, over the weekend. But Hart wrote a fair bit, and it was probably the defining score in the game that gave them the push on, because I thought Galway actually struggled to get over the line last weekend, and I thought they rode their luck significantly, even though I would say one of the goals that Hart in the first half should have been cleared. I think Shane Cooney went to the ball in the 21 and he failed to pick it. He kind of more, he got stuck in translation really, because he was just looking at the ball. And but I think overall, the biggest question going into the semi-final this weekend, especially in that game, is how much will it have taken out of the legs? Because I felt, and you have been making this point on the pod all year long about the pitches, I thought the Gaelic grounds was very, very heavy. And I think it'll take a lot out of the Galway team. And whether they'll be able to recover, Anthony, in the space of 7 days to go to Croke Park and give a good performance, that'll be a big question. We'll be discussing it in a minute. But I think overall, the other thing that I suppose from the game is that Seamus Canlan went through for a goal opportunity where Adrian Toohey pulled him to the ground. And this is becoming a bigger and bigger feature now.
Sure, I'm bringing this up every week, and you're telling me you don't want the black card brought in. Like,
I don't think I don't know if I've been on that at all, but I think it is quite obvious at this stage that something is going to have to be done for it. You know, whether it is the penalty, I think that was a 21-yard free. I think we made the point that you know, that semi-circle that goes outside of the 21-yard line. I think it's any professional, well, let's call it a professional foul or goal scoring opportunity, if one of them created within that semi-circle stroke, the 20-yard line into the goals, I think it should be an automatic penalty. I think that would be my first and foremost. Whether I'd be going the black card, I can see where there's going to be an issue for the club game for referees, that if it's a black card, they're going to find it very hard, or a sin bin, to time it with maybe one or two or three fellas could be going off the field. The easiest thing is to give a penalty if there is a free. And I think that semi-circle outside the 21-yard line, that to me would be the simplest way to sort it for the time being, because it's becoming too prevalent now.
But just to balance the books on it as well, there's no doubt that Ronan Maher as well Conor Whelan going through Ronan and just caught him by the jersey because he knew he was gone from him, like, as well.
But
all of us, the ones we're thinking about are the ones with just a couple of minutes to go, because a black card is going to make no difference to them anyway, like, because the other crowd need a goal, and why not take? We saw the Mayo lad doing it in the football match against Galway. Like,
that's right.
He says they're not letting you in for a goal anyway. So
yeah, but like if that semicircle was there and it was a penalty, Anthony, because there was only 2 points in that football game, but that day, I don't know would he have pulled them down then, Anthony, because he was safe in the knowledge that there was probably going to be 7 or 8 fellas on the goal line, and the chance of getting the goal were very slim. But if there was a penalty to be given away on a 1-on-1 scenario, then it might be slightly different. But it's the same foul all the time, late in the game. The team that are leading seem to be always getting fouled. And, you know, if a goal opportunity, I think if Tip got the goal that way, they'd have actually won the game, Anthony. And
I'd say they will. And I thought Callanan as well was one of their best up front, in fairness team. Dahi did have his, and the free was harsh. I agree with Hoggy, but geez, the first goal, like to be able to sense that Dahi had slipped.
Yes, and
he nearly changed his mind midstream, didn't he? And said, goal on.
Yeah, I was actually looking at Dahi Burke, and I was saying to myself, would you get up? Would you? Because it looked like Callanan had bought himself about 2 seconds. And now all of a sudden, Bob was in the back of the net. But I'd have to say his goal and Cathal Mannion's goal, like the two of them were struck right into the corner. I think it was Cannon got the other goal. They were struck right inside the post. I mean, it takes fair skill to do that for players, like, because the width of the post. And we saw David Clifford with a magnificent football goal a number of weeks back, and he did it against Cork in the semi-final as well, and hit the top of the stanchion. So, I mean, the quality of play from the forwards in both courts at the moment is fantastic.
Unreal levels of skill. And is it the manner of the tackle, lads, Hoggy or TJ? You know, when you see Adrian Toohey, like, you wouldn't have gotten the tackle a mile over the road in Thomond, like, do you know, it was perfectly executed, like, or, you know, if it was a clumsy... You know, I'm looking at the football as well over the weekend because I had nothing else to be doing. But the poor old Kevin lad that got the early black card, it looked as if it was an accident. But, yeah, you know, when you see the blatant, you're not going any further here. And we all remember Joe Barley going to 8 with Sean Kavanagh. He's not a man. and all that. But I think it's the manner that's going to cause Congress or whatever hurling rules committee and TG, you've probably rallied against it more than anyone here on this show.
Like, I have, yeah. I'm not convinced at all. As I said, I think we need to get the current rules and the current referee up to speed exactly with helping them, number one, and with the current rules.
TG, what help do you need there? Like, I mean, sure, no. Kellner's in on a goal. Like, he's about to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I know, but like, if you take the Galway goal, the first Galway goal, Cathal Mannion, like, I know there are fewer coaching a defender there, right? You would be not Niall O'Mara to wrap him there, right? You wouldn't have left that open for a shot away, right? So it's a balance between the coaching, not conceding a goal, and then the blatantly obvious, right? But like VAR, like what we've discussed already, where does this go? How far does it go? How far out do you go? What's a clear goal scoring chance, right? And in a professional organization like the FA can't get this anywhere near right because there's bananas decisions coming up, right? I can't see us being able to get this right, and I think it'll cause a lot of confusion. I do think, like, Johnny Murphy, he works in that land. He's selling cars with Dandoolies. I'd meet him there on a regular basis. He's a genuine GAA man, right? His father was referee before him. He does understand the game. There's probably fellas in his ear. He's trying to get all these calls right. The first yellow card did look reasonably innocuous enough, but I didn't see Carl Barr complaining either. No, there's a bit like, you know yourself, Dale, if you've a name for getting up early in the morning, you could stay in bed all day, right? Like, Carl Barrett has that in terms of...
They're most the Marx farmers.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. But Carl Barrett has that, and he got the yellow card. No, there's also a part, I don't want to say this with any sort of whatever greatness or anything, like, but I got a yellow card a lot of days, right? And like, when you're on a yellow, right, it's different then. You have to be that little bit smarter, right? And like, Carl left himself open, I think, and he gave himself no choice. Like, he could have sent Jake Morris as well. I agree it was accidental, but it was a slap in the helmet there for the hook, right? And I know, again, there in that case, the initial yellow to me looked harmless. And I don't want cards, and I don't want fellas sent off. But it's a tricky one. So for me today, Dale, until we get what we have right, I'm saying no to the black card, no to the sin bin, and no to the penalties.
Yeah, Hoggy, will you be in bits? Like, you know, if, no, I'll reverse it the way I was going to say it. TJ, you're 2 points down. You've made a massive comeback from 7. TJ's bearing down on goal, and Conor Prunty, not saying you'll do it, Conor, but that Conor Prunty dives and absolutely takes him out of it, and TJ goes for the goal. It's saved, and Walford in the Ireland final. You'd say that's okay?
Well, if you think about it all week, to be honest, because I felt over the last couple of years has been a kind of a move. You know, there's the GA seems to kind of have one particular thing in their head for the year, and they really drilled home on that. It was head-high tackles, where I didn't think there was a major issue with head-high tackles, but they were honing in on any sort of touch. There was, you know, there's been a couple of things like that, and the officiating has very much been to the fore of, you know, trying to benefit the forwards. I felt, you know, and it's becoming increasingly more difficult for defenders. However, you know, and to the detriment of almost some of the physicality in the game, which, you know, we all love. I wouldn't say there's been any terrible strokes or terrible tackles in matches over the last number of years I can remember, but I do think there is an issue with this. You know, you mentioned the Daniel O'Mara piece, and that was just poor defending. You know, that was a guy who's not a defender being found in the wrong position and caught Mannion taking advantage of it. You know, as a defender, he should have shown him, you know, we all know he should have shown him the end line and kept him that goal side him. The other incident, I mean, I think what the one that we're really bothered about is the one that's like blatant. You know, he's through on goal and he's hauled down, you know, and there's no attempt to play. And we all know what he's doing. And if we're on the defenders team, we're saying fair play to you. You know, if you didn't do it, why didn't you pull him down? And if you're in the opposition team, you're pulling your hair out because it's a clear goal chance. So there's a difference between, you know, if there's other defenders back and your man is just rash and just panics and pulls the guy down, and a situation where a guy is through on goal, the writing's on the wall, and he's just cynically hauled down. I think in that situation, there has to be a penalty, for want of a better word, you know, and what that is, I don't know. But I do think we have to be very careful about it, because you can see the disaster of a situation we have, you know, in the other sports with VAR, as he just mentioned, you know, where people are just too quick to make rules for an issue, and then they don't think them through properly, you know, or don't, you know, spend the time. And then as a result, then we spend more time trying to rectify the mistake. But I do think this situation in itself, for whatever reason, this year, you know, more so than any year, we've had a couple of instances, you know, similar instances. So it is something that, look, they are going to look at. I think they probably do need to look at, you know, but what the answer is, I mean, I don't know yet. You know, I'm not sure.
Well,
but
I mean, I'm like, you'll all remember against Niall Burke and Dylan Stefan was exactly the same thing. Yeah. He had him hauled down. So like, that is the tackle that needs to be eradicated. And that is a goal scoring opportunity. I think the ref needs to be given the power to make it on the night, but you have to extend out where the foul potentially is going to be. And, you know, whether that is the 21 yard line in, where it is, there's a square there, or you extend it out to outside it, you know, I would be inclined to give a penalty first before we go to a black card or a sin bin, because I'm conscious that one rule could be there in the county. It'll have to come down to the club game as well, and it'll be impossible for referees to be able to do their job at club level and also be able to time sin bins and stuff for that. So, but it is the same tackle, Brian, that's going on all of the time, and something is going to have to be done.
Do I think I say, Mark, is like that tackle is the, we can see the blatant one, but like Del Nuno in the intercounty game today, right? How many smart cornerbacks, right? They might be preempting this, they're getting the drag in early. Like, they know there might be a goal scoring chance on. I think this would cause consternation. We can't get what we have 100% right.
But TJ, to be fair, we have 95% of it right, to be fair. Like, we're actually only talking about a couple of incidents every weekend. And you go back a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about technology. We've had a weekend of Holland. I don't think there has been any need for technology. And, you know, if there's a need, use it. Like, go back to the Noel McGrath goal incident. That was only one incident. And we've played a lot of games this year where there's only small requirements. So we must give credit to the referees, lads. They're getting a huge amount of decisions right every weekend, but we also seem to be harping on the stuff that has gone wrong. Like, in fairness to Johnny Murphy last weekend, it was a yellow card by Jake Morris, but he used his common sense and said, no, it wasn't an intentional foul, and he didn't give him the yellow card.
So, hello, I haven't fallen out with any referee in my career. Have you fallen out with any referee?
One or two, but never long term. Never okay. Held. Like, might have been cold enough the next time I met him, be it in a pub or something like that. But no, long term, I'd normally talk away to people afterwards. Yeah, I'd let it go eventually. But no, like, Johnny couldn't have had a bad game to get the game we got. you know, but it's just particular incidents. I suppose the overturning of the what we thought was steps as well. We found that unusual as well, yeah. I suppose, at the time. But seemingly there was another offence there that he'd actually played the ball in his hand or whatever, threw it up and caught it, let's say. But
I suppose, Anthony, the other issue that came out of the weekend on the refereeing side of it was Liam Sheedy and Don Lowe pointed out the fact that it was a Limerick referee. And I think Desi Cahill probably should have expanded a little bit more on Sunday night and what he meant by Johnny Murphy getting the game. But I think the point he was trying to make is that Limerick were in the All-Ireland semi-final and there was a good chance of the winners of this game were going to be playing Limerick in the semi-final. And potentially there's a small conflict of interest. I think that was the point that was trying to be made. So I don't think there's any require. And, and we have this weekend coming up, we have Fergal Horgan refereeing Kilkenny and Tipperary and Waterford. With a former Tipperary player in the Waterford ranks. I don't see
any. We played with him. Played with him at 21.
You're just asking for trouble. I didn't know that now, but you're just asking for trouble in that situation. Like I can't understand how James Owens hasn't been given that game in Fergal Horgan. Could ref the other game. So,
but Mac, the referees will tell you that they're practically a professional organisation. They're doing to the best game they can. Like, I think Don Logue was wrong myself calling out Johnny Murphy on the Sunday game. Like, there's loads of those incidents up and down through the year. Obviously, Johnny Murphy doesn't talk to Don Logue or whatever the situation.
But I think
he was wrong.
He wasn't calling out Johnny Murphy. He was calling out the association Murphy in charge.
At the start of the conversation, Mark, he called him out about the first incident as to why he gave the yellow card. We don't have that happen up and down the year. Even the Sunday game, there was a blatant sending off in the Dublin game, which I didn't know what it was about, and that wasn't discussed. So I think it was a little bit unfair, but the referees will tell you that they're there to referee the game. Does whether Galway or Tipperary win have an influence on Johnny Murphy? Honestly, I think no. No, maybe you have a point, but the association could make themselves a little bit easier for themselves. But bottom line for me is,
Look, TJ, just to be clear, I'm not, there's no pressure whatsoever, and I'm not knocking any referee whatsoever. But I am saying to the association, you could just, instead of mudding the water or blooding the lines, right, just take that issue away from the scenario. We all know the referees are going to go out and give 100%, but you just don't want to tarnish afterwards.
I thought it was a needless comment. I mean, whether it was explicit or implicit from Don Logan in terms of his intention, I think it insinuated, you know, there was some sort of conflict with Johnny Murphy there. You know, it insinuated that he might be biased in some respect for, you know, as TJ, you mentioned, you know, like, I think it's not fair on the ref. I mean, his job is hard enough without someone coming on and saying, oh, he might be compromised because he's from one. Like, the pool of referees is small enough as it is. And to be honest, like, I think, if a ref is thinking about anything going into a match, I think he's thinking about the guys who are judging him, you know, from the GAA committee and what sort of job he's doing, because they all want to get the next big match, you know. And I don't think he's too bothered about, you know, maybe who his own county are playing the next day or whatever. I mean, it just anecdotally, I had a conversation there a couple of weeks ago with a referee who managed him. I'll try and keep it as vague as possible, so not to implicate him, but who managed a match over the last couple of seasons, and it was one of the best matches of the year, and he let it go. And he didn't get the following big matches, you know, that preceded that. So his opinion was, well, I'm going to ref it according to the letter of the law as I'm told, and it doesn't matter if it flows or it's a good match. If that's what they want, that's what they'll get, because that means that's what I'll get. It means I'll get the big matches then that come after it.
Yeah, and sure, Hoggy, we're the whole summer here, like, listening to the great Little All Ireland, how good it was this year because the referees are letting it flow. You know, but poor old Colin McAllister, who's the best referee down there, he's not in the Liam McCarthy panel then.
I mean, I'd agree. I am 100% in agreement with you there. But Brian, coming back to your point about the referees, we got your own manager for a long, long time, and he's there a long, long time. Isn't such a great friend of Barry Kelly's now, is he? And he wouldn't be long. And he hasn't been quite in his opinions about Barry Kelly for a long time.
I don't know. Has Brian wouldn't, to my recollection anyway, wouldn't have been hugely vocal in criticising referees. It's not his style, as from what I know. You know, Brian tends to keep his opinions in house. I mean, look, I've had my run-ins with Barry, to be honest about it. You know, a nice guy, but certainly on the pitch, he probably would have been one of the rest that would have been. I wouldn't have been a personal favourite of, you know. But that's, look, you're going to have that over the years, the clashing. But I don't think Brian has come out publicly on TV criticising refs. Not to my recollection anyway.
No, he doesn't have to do it publicly, but he sends his spotters out.
Yeah, I always found out that if you could get the referee talking, that you had a good chance to get. That, you know, if you can say, like, remember Dickie Murphy and a few of those guys, that don't say when you came to the scene and the book was coming out, you said, well, Dickie, our things, that you had a better chance kind of not maybe getting the cars and stuff like that. Right? So I think maybe if Kyle Barrett, the first one there, if you kind of gone to him straight away, said, I completed his case, you might have a better chance of getting it off. The second one looked late. But just before we move on, we're kind of giving the referee. Well, I'm defending the referees. I want to put that on record. I have a good relationship.
Yeah, I'm not about to condemn them either. We'll just talk about
it. Everything's good. But we were playing a match one day. Just this is my only story for this week. Is that Tony?
This is trending this week now.
It's trending. It was Shane Horgan who was refereeing, the good referee, and he got killed in a car crash since. Actually, great ref, but he was going places. But it was a match in Kilmallock one day, and Tony it was a tackle anyway. And the referee came in and he's cut straight away. He goes, Tony, and giving you a yellow card. And Donny goes to him, for what? And straight away Shane goes, as loud as he could, for a late tackle. And Donny goes to him, jeez, Shane, that's very harsh. A late tackle? He goes, I got there as quick as I could. did a great relationship afterwards, son.
there's a book in Donny, I think.
There is.
Lads, we could stay talking rules and officials all day, but the poor lad out walking, I'm conscious he'd be going about 15 kilometres if we don't keep moving. But and poor old Padraig McGilley getting that lack, I won't get a stroke done at all for the rest of the week. But look, Larry, I'm going to bring you in here a small bit. Like, it's a funny place now with Tip. Like, Liam came in, he did the business first year, and you know, the back-to-back was the big thing. A lot of us, well, I kind of thought, they felt that it might work their way. But, you know, it's a funny one now that a lot of Liam Cahill's 20s and 21s haven't been blooded. And it's a funny position now. He's going into year three, yet there seems to be lads that are coming near the end and not enough of the younger brigade. Like, we haven't seen enough of them now. We've obviously seen a fair bit of Morris. But the rest, I'm talking about the Brian McGraths, the Ger Browns, the Cadells, were all young Paddy Cadell. I suppose he got blocked down for the goal, but made an impact when he came on. There's no doubt about it.
Sorry, Dad, I wasn't even listening to you there. It's all about the football podcast for me from now on.
Let the people speak on that. Listeners, get your views in there and the reviews.
I think. It's nearly a free year for all the managers this year, in a way, though, isn't it? I mean, whatever plans Liam Sheedy had at the start of the year, maybe, look, if the year panned out a lot different, surely one or two of those lads might have been integrated a bit sooner. But given the way things panned out, I think it's nearly a free shot at it, like, isn't it? Yeah. There's not too much recrimination. I mean, normally there would be a week of absolute recrimination and tip after going out, no matter what the circumstances. But I don't get that sense, in a way.
Is there a possibility, aside from that, is there a possibility that now Tip, it's a 2 or 3 year build now, rather than like maybe if Liam had kind of intended to kind of stay 2 years or 3 years now, is it a kind of a 2 or 3 year project now?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of people are saying that the big five lads, the big five are coming to the end. But I mean, geez, I wouldn't be writing any of them off either, though. I mean, Shamey looked as good as anybody there. Like the McGraths will be, after a bit of a rest, will be rejuvenated next year, you would think. I suppose I think they're in a reasonably strong position. You integrate 3 or 4 of the under 20s next year. I'm not sure I believe in this kind of project, Lark. Like, I mean, would you say if they win it next year, would it be ahead of schedule then? What to do the year after, you know? If you started again in March, Tip would be second favourites for the All-Ireland probably next year, as much as anybody.
Felt like, as an inter-county manager anyway, your challenge with putting out the best team possible for that given year, like, you know, I do think that's a challenge. I just thought, you know, there was so much talent available that we'd have seen some of them sooner. But I suppose you're right, and that brings me on, I suppose, right to the second game, because, you know, in Clare, Brian Lohan would be fit. There'd be no great recriminations either. You know, there would be a lot of positive people would have felt that there was a great start made. Then we had the massive COVID break, and then you had to face into Limerick, and things could have gone really south. And I suppose brings us on to the second game on Saturday. Like, Clare came off, beat Laois, beat Wexford. Huge game, obviously massively talked up by people, but obviously just came up short against, you know, came up 9 points short for a finish, but against a team that really, lads, looks to be going places and under a new management with that new structure, kind of markers let down from the start of the year with Nolly and with Maurice Shanahan, like, you know, and even the Philip Mahoney thing, there wasn't much made of it. No. You know, it was, you can go if you want to, we're moving on, and they're really in the right direction, aren't they, Mac?
Yeah, I thought they were very impressive on over the weekend, Anthony. From the get-go, really, like, I mean, you know, Desi Hutchinson was outstanding early on. And in particular, the goal that he stayed outside the square, I just said to myself, that's great awareness. And so we're talking about the offside trap and stuff like that, and having awareness of where the lines were. I turned it back afterwards because I thought he was in the square first, but he actually seemed to have a foot on either side of the corner of the square to make sure that he wasn't in there. And I thought that showed fierce sharpness and awareness. But his ball that he brought back for Jack Fagan before halftime was out of the top draw stuff now, you know. And the goal, the second goal he got, okay, he got a bit of luck now that the ball broke inside, but he picked the first time and had it in the back of the net before he gave the defender an opportunity to actually catch him. So I thought in general, look, I saw it at the start of the year when I saw the league match below in Welch Park when they had, we'll say, I won't say second string, they had 7 or 8 of the first team weren't playing, and their fitness levels, their enthusiasm for the game, their desire to win the game was phenomenal. They showed basically to the water of a people, listen, we have a new manager, we're 100% in behind him. And I suppose, I don't want to be knocking Patrick Fanning, I suppose he kind of was removed in the role and stuff like that. And there was a certain amount of pressure back on the water of players to deliver for their county then, having done that. And look, Liam Cahill has got an unbelievable tune out of them. And, you know, I we've been talking about the semi-finals, but I think they're going to give it a right rattle against Kilkenny. And for, you know, to 2008, since they were hammered in the All-Ireland final by Kilkenny. And I think, I don't know, is there anybody surviving from that time? Maybe Kevin Moran. But this is a new, fresh panel with no baggage whatsoever. They have 3 brilliant players in Tadhg De Burke, Jamie Barron and Gleeson at full tilt. But Stephen Bennett has put himself right into that category of players now that is really dependable and is a go-to man in any game. And he's capable of taking on any defender at the moment. But I have to say, just on the Clare side, Tony Kelly was a massive loss in terms of the injury. We didn't get the true Tony Kelly. But didn't Shanahan stand up? Didn't Malone stand up? And like, without the likes of Conlon and Duggan, and I suppose to a lesser extent Galvin, Brian Lawan, I think, would be thrilled with his season. And he's got, you know, a quarter final, you know, shipped a couple of heavy defeats, but then recovered brilliantly. And probably the win against Wexford will live long in the memory, I think, of Brian Lawan.
Yeah, I don't look. I was just texting him and that. I was texting Ken Ralph as well. Absolutely gutted, I suppose. Like everybody involved at that stage, you see the chance of getting to that semi-final and you have momentum as well coming from the Wexford game. But they will, I think, when they kind of Christmas, they'll say, look, we have a lot to build on. And of course, for teams as well, there isn't too long to be, you have to be thinking about next year fairly lively now, the way things have gone. Up to half-time, TJ, was as good a game again, like, wasn't it? As nearly, I suppose, Waterford didn't put their, would like Shanahan to hit back for Clare then and get his 2 goals. Like, and obviously, Tony Kelly doing the ankle in the warm-up. And it's one of the things, as we got to notice, I think, I hope there's no injury now. I'm not saying that, but Parky Keeve is in brilliant order and you're used to playing on it. But if you come from a couple of matches on different pitches and you're training on different pitches, and Clare would have nowhere like that to train on. To be honest, like, they're in Tulla, they're in Tubber, maybe Cusick Park the odd morning. And they played in Portlaoise and they played in Thurles and Nolan Park. And Parky Keeve, I'm not blaming it on Tony's injury now, don't get me wrong, but I think the choice of boots and that and stuff for, like, even for the Park is not, no one from Waterford have played there either this year, so I'm not saying that is the reason, but you couldn't quantify. What I'd like to say, TJ, is when we're looking ahead to this weekend's games, I'd love if Kelly was there in full flow and see Din Ho Waterford, because there's no doubt for Shanahan's first goal, they completely opened up the Tadhg De Burke system at the back.
Yeah,
with the overlap.
What I really liked about Lohan this year is I thought tactically in a couple of the games he played, I think he got him very right. And like, it was very obvious from the start here that Callum Lyons was picking up Tony Kelly on a 1-to-1, right? But very, very quickly, I see that Clare placed Tony Kelly at centre-forward, which then forced Waterford's hands where they had to move Tadhg De Burke out of centre-back, which I thought was very smart and it worked for them early doors. Like, Tony Kelly, I suppose the wheels coming off there did rob the match of some bit of kind of glass. You cannot take away from Waterford. The only sting in the tail I have here from Waterford, Mark, would be is like Clare scored 3 goals, right? I thought Aaron Cunningham had one exceptionally good chance to get another one. They created 5 goal chances. They're probably heading to possibly the king of the goal getters in Kilkenny, right?
Mm.
So that is definitely a concern for the weekend. But overall, the game was enjoyable to watch. Like, I probably questioned why Shanahan wasn't playing early doors against Limerick. He's a very good player. I thought we might have seen more of Aaron Cunningham, Ed McCarthy, some goal, like without a doubt. But I suppose the 3 key things for me is, number one, about Waterford's fitness and energy is definitely a joy to behold. They're just 75, 80 minutes fit now. They can go toe-to-toe, and they were pushing on again towards the finish. What you said, Mark, there about Waterford's big players, even Desi Hutchinson inside, now you can nearly add him. He's a classic finisher. They have really, really, really good players. And I suppose, like, again, just that bit of belief, and they've beaten Kilkenny there before in the championship under Derek. I think Waterford in a great place, and I think that it just puts them in a great position for the weekend ahead, and they'll have a right rattle at this.
Yeah, and Hoggy, we didn't mention, I should have mentioned about Shane O'Neill's decision to take off David Bourke and Johnny Cohen at halftime, and didn't seem to be injuries involved, and just said no, we needed to freshen it up afterwards and come up with a new strategy for the second half. And like, Cahill has definitely put an immediate stamp also on this Waterford setup.
Yeah, I mean, he's his own man, you know, as you said, right from the outset, he's just set his stall out in terms of the personnel he wanted, in terms of the way he wants the game to be played, you know. As you said, they look fit, they look hungry. They've had a wretched last couple of years, you know, and, you know, at the beginning of this season, none of us were really kind of marking, you know, or back in Waterford. So they probably would have been down the fifth, you know, you would have had your Limerick, obviously, and Tip and Cork and that, but... You know, they're Landers is holding his hands up. Will you go out of that, Landers?
Will you? You obviously don't listen to the podcast during all the podcasts.
No, I just don't listen to you, Landers. That's the only part.
There's a special mute button when you hear the podcast. Yeah.
Do you not know that? No. Larry muted. But anyway. Yeah. No, look.
You're behind, Landers, you're behind the red button.
But I think yeah, well, Waterford, look, I mean, the both managers have shown and not afraid to make the hard decisions, you know. Taking Austin Gleeson off there, you know, in the last 2 games was a big call by Liam Cahill, a guy who I felt, if Waterford were going to make any sort of impact this year, they needed to be firing in all cylinders. And the scary thing is that Waterford have shown up really well, and Gleeson has hurled in patches, but hasn't really kind of imposed himself on the game. You know, if you put Gleeson in the same bracket as Tony Kelly, you know, former hurlers of the year, and that, you look at the way Tony Kelly has grabbed this season by the scruff of the neck, you know. I mean, the next day against Kilkenny, you know, the Waterford guys have been very consistent. The Bennetts have showed up really well. I think Crow Park, you know, Hutchinson is going to be made for the likes of Desi Hutchinson with the speed and, you know, the hurling that he has. Then you throw maybe Ozzie coming into the, you know, this is a big, big game, you know, and, yeah, they're a serious prospect. But yeah, look, Cahill is massive, huge credit. And I think it was referenced, you know, this is a season, a kind of a gimme to a certain extent, you know, coming in. You know, no one was expecting a huge amount from managers in terms of what way it was going to pan out. So I suppose there was a certain amount of pressure off Liam, to, you know, if you like. But it's been, no matter what happens, it's been a successful season for Cahill, you know. And it'll be an intriguing match on Saturday.
I think there's signs there, Hoggy, that Ozzie is coming. I did think I thought he was getting onto some of the players around him. Yeah, I thought it was that better. There are 2 things for me in the 2 games as well, right? I think maybe you can start out maybe one of them, right? Is during the water break, right? It would be great if the analysts could kind of tell us about the formations and the setup, because we're gone away from the 1-15 now. So what way a team is playing, because it's a little bit frustrating. Maybe it's the frustration now for me not being at games, right? That's starting to really, really hurt. That's the first thing. The second thing is, right, it is useless, right, having 2 brilliant readers of the game of Derek McGrath and Henry Shefflin, right, in Croke Park talking about a match on the Gaelic grounds. It just makes absolute no sense. We're behind the curve. I'm not sure whether it's financial, whether it's COVID, whether it's structures that they can't do it. But to me, it's just baloney at this stage. So we have a high-quality game. We're trying to find out where Joseph Cooney is playing. David Burke has gone sweeper. the analysis data, some of them aren't obviously in your league, right? But look,
fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? We have to live and hope that the weekend they might be better, and the cameras will be better in Croke Park as well. They're just my two gripes from those two games.
Yeah, one of my toughest memories, I have to say, for the last couple of years was being up in Salt Hill. I think watching Clare and Tip do battle in Thurles, and we there for the Connacht football final, I think myself and Henry. Well, whatever chance of me hanging on for the Connacht football final, Henry wasn't going hanging on for it anyway. Like, you know.
Doesn't make sense, though.
There was Mayo lads sent us. Where are you going, lads? The big one is coming on. Like, it was the day Tomás O'Shea caught me.
The pizza
as well. Yeah. Oh, well, you remember that, Landers.
Yeah. You have all the signs of it.
Oh, yeah. Although lockdown there now hasn't looked as too easy there with the daughters doing the cooking now. And yeah. Stick on a bit of garlic bread with that, Dad.
Yeah, lovely.
I have to knuckle down again now for the final. Like, you know, it's process All-Ireland final is started already, like, you know. Yes. So, TJ, it is very tough. I suppose all down to money at the end of the day, and I suppose costs and setting up. No, I think in the current climate, it mightn't be that difficult just to have two fellas down there on the sideline.
Yeah.
And go up and sit in the stand and watch it. But I'll have Rory O'Neill on to me there now telling me how much it costs. So I don't know. I suppose that's and I suppose the whole thing on Saturday was more misfortunate in that the match was so early. And then the bloody Sunday stuff and the Leinster football final was coming on. Both massacres were being looked at. but I thought in fairness, RT, they made a brilliant job of the bloody Sunday.
That was good, yeah.
Oh, just, brilliant. You know,
fantastically well done. And
well, as a GAA person, Anthony, like the amount of people from across all codes who said what a job the GAA did at the weekend in the commemoration. I thought it was fantastic. And the nice touch with the Dubs again at the end of the game to go in later read as well. But the overall context, Brendan Gleeson was just brilliant. How, you know, whoever came up with Brendan Gleeson to speak the words, superb. And like, we find fault with a lot of things, but we must put up our hands and say that was a magnificent stroke by the GAA and what they did over the weekend.
Yeah, you nearly want a tactics board popping up on a side screen, TJ, now to say Galway are gone into the 7-1-5-1.
There's a role for it, Dello. Like I watched Jamie Carragher on Monday Night Football explaining about the two City centre halves and Harry Kane. I'm not sure if you saw that. Obviously Spurs are very good and, you know, sitting pretty at the top of the table. But I just think that in like, for people out there who just really, really know their stuff and who's marking who and looking for the matchups, right? Like, it's definitely on last Saturday when Galway definitely changed and jumped into something different. We could have done with somebody there at the water break saying, look, this is more or less the formation. This is the way Tipper playing. Tipper alternating their free men, whether it's Brendan, whether it's Parik, whoever it was. Like, it's good to know. We're trying to rock it out from the television and can get frustrating. That's all.
In fairness, at least Limerick bring out the old tactics board, you know, and we're trying to get a look at what's happening.
We don't know if it's Limerick or the other crowd he's looking at the hoggy. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose the one thing there, TJ, and you were kind of saying, like, about taking the stuff with the refereeing and the decisions when Carragher is looking at a nil all 40 minutes into the game, like, and fairness to Brendan Cummins or Michael Dignan or myself, whoever's on call commentary, and it's 2:15 to 2:14 at that stage. Like, it's hard to be looking at the system. I did point it out, I suppose. I thought that was a great battle with Joseph Cooney and Dan McCormack, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Cooney knew there was a sweeper and he likes to attack. So he's like, I'm going to make your man think here. But yeah. McCormack is in such form as well. And he was.
I'd say that's coming again too, Dale, would you say?
Oh, I that's why I'm bullying. I'm not going to be there the weekend. Like, it's just torture. Like, this. Yeah. Just, I'd love to be in Croke Park for board matches and just to see the intrigue of the things that are being tried and to bring it forward. Let's we had two more of our finals the weekend. Great win for Donegal in the Nicky Rackard against Mayo. And your old buddy that used to mind the house for you, Huggy.
That's right.
Up with a big win in the Christie Ring.
I was going to say a big shout out to Harrow. We're on a WhatsApp and we were lamenting the fact he was coming home from Croker with the trophy and no pints. No, he was sitting at home in the house with the dog and the wife and having a pint.
The wife and the dog might have looked for him when he was in the toilet, though.
What's that?
The wife and the dog might have looked for him if he went for a snooze in the cubicle in the toilets. Like, he never went looking for him in City West.
Well, he's fell asleep in many a toilets and Shearer's never gone looking for him. He can find his own way home. It's not, but yeah, no, look,
fantastic result for Herald and the Kildare lads. I know just from personally from talking to them, the amount of work that's gone into it, and particularly this year, trying to, well, you're getting an insight into terms of the challenges presented in terms of trying to keep the show on the road, you know, and keep lads motivated. And, you know, he said that the lads were, you know, massive dedication, you know, the Kildare lads, anything he asked them to do, you know, I think they had quizzes and whatever else just to try and stay in contact via Zoom and just all these things that most county teams are probably doing. And look, delighted for him. You know, he's 3 or 4 years into his managerial career. You know, I know there's a few of the boys gone down the road, and Harrow's been playing his trade with between Dublin Camogie and, you know, Wakula and Wicklow. So no, delighted for him. It's a great result, and he has bragging rights over Fenno, at least for the winter anyway.
Yeah, Fenno and with Down going up as well, congrats to them on their season as well. A great season. Just the goals, I suppose, in both those finals, the 3-16, 22, and Down fighting back every time. But I suppose the shout out to Ronan and the Down lads, they're going up as well. So with Kildare going up and Down going up, Fenno surely has a good chance of the Christy Ring next year.
No pressure, Fenno.
there's some apprenticeship of Kilkenny managers going on around the country at the moment, isn't there?
They've had plenty of time with the manager in there at the minute. Yeah, and like, it just goes to show with these lads, like Mickey Hart, lads, wasn't idle too long, was he? Mm,
absolutely. Great bit of work by Loud, you'd have to say. Super bit of work.
I wonder, will they use him straight away this weekend, Mark, in a Lowry Maher final against Fermanagh? Will the Loud County Board say, Mickey, you want to get you started?
Absolutely. If I was in that situation, 10 or 15, 20 minutes, have a chat with the boys, definitely. I mean, and he, not alone is he doing the senior team, but he's doing the under 20 team as well. So they're looking at the long-term scenario there. Great bit of business. Good ambition,
isn't it? Yeah. Good court and razor there as well. For Saturday evening's game, looking ahead, lads, massive again. Like, this was often a subject of debate. I was against it. I've said it on here before, the two semi-finals on the same weekend, but I think the last 2 years of the semis, lads, have been just incredible. Like, and go back 2 years, the Clare Galway extra time and the subsequent replay, and then that Limerick Cork match. I suppose it lives in everyone's memory, and you know, but first of all, I suppose it's a new rivalry that, you know, Waterford haven't won in All Ireland, but the Kilkenny-Waterford rivalry has ramped up really since, I suppose, Justin's team made that breakthrough down in Cork in 2002 and on into, you know, to meeting through qualifiers and backdoors and semi-finals and the hiding in 08, obviously, but... Well, it's a huge game now, Huggy, like, and I don't know how you fix, like, down there, like... personnel-wise.
Well, I suppose you mentioned a rivalry, first of all. Obviously, it's a big rivalry in neighbouring counties. But I think for this group of players in particular, if you go back as far as, you know, it was probably 2016, really, you know, when this really kind of, this particular group of players and with Derek there, you know, that the replay, you know, the draw match in Croke Park went down to Turles. We got over the line that day in an epic. I think it was the same day that Fenno did his Achilles. But I think there's about 9 of the Waterford team were involved that day that are involved at the moment, and about 8 of the Kilkenny lads. So, you know, there's a fair spread of them there. And then obviously the following year, then Waterford got the upper hand in 2017. So the one thing that will mean is that there's plenty of Waterford guys there who have no kind of a fear of the black and amber jersey. They know what it takes to beat Kilkenny, and they know what it feels like to lose as well. So, you know, there's going to be no issue there. And obviously a lot of those Waterford guys have won numerous underage titles as well, so they're winners in their own right. It's going to be a massive match from a Kilkenny perspective. I mean, we're obviously missing Paddy Deegan for the Leinster final. We're missing Billy Ryan, so the two boys are back, you know, as far as I'm aware. Paddy's definitely back, and they'll add options for Brian. You know, I think the plus is that Brian, you know, brought back in a couple of players, like he brought Niall Breslin on, who, you know, showed really well for the 15-20 minutes that he was in. They also brought in, I'm trying to think now, who was Connor Brown. Well, yeah. Connor Brown. Yeah. I mean, Connor Brown, you know, had a massive impact last year. Came in the semi-final, in the Ireland semi-final last year, and played the final, and, you know, had a stormer in both games, I thought. You know, for a young guy who came in, he's built for that position in midfield. You know, he's hugely athletic. He's powerful, you know, and you see the way he drove forward in the Leinster final as well. So he had a really good game. I think he's back in the mix. And then obviously with the boys come back, Martin Keown showed up really well. So Brian has options there, you know, which I think you'll need, you know, because I think from Waterford's perspective with Liam Cahill, we've talked about the way he's molded his team and got them really hurling well, but he's also, you know, got a bench there as well, you know, Patrick Curran coming on. You know, you've got Conor Gleeson there in the mix as well, who's been outstanding for him over the last couple of years. And I think, you know, they need that. They're going to need that. But the big one, you know, from a Waterford perspective, we've touched on it, was Ozzy. And I think Croke Park, you know, it's interesting. The last two games, Aleem has kind of, he's brought him off. And TJ's right. There's been signs that he's starting to come back into the form that we know. And I think it might be, I'm just wondering, is it a case where Liam knows he can do all the hurling, he can make the ball talk, but is he looking for him to do maybe more? You know, what is he doing off the ball? And maybe is it just a kind of trying to manage him, trying to you know, keep him hungry, if you like, you know, that he's bringing him off, you know, with 5, 10, 15 minutes to go, that he's trying to emphasise to Ozzy, look, Ozzy, I want this part of your game as well. You know, I know you can put balls over the bar from 100 yards, but I don't want you coming in out of the match. I want you really to do the bread and butter first, you know, a bit like what Cody does. You know, it took a couple of years for Cody to get that message across to TJ, and you, we all know the harder the TJ is, you know. So I'm just wondering, is there a bit of that kind of process happening there? But it's going to be a belter of a match on Saturday night for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark, would you see Cody, like, obviously Paddy Deegan and Billy's available, I presume, Hoagie as well, like. So
yeah. He hurt a hamstring before the Leinster final. So, I mean, you know, you know yourself at hamstrings now, and that is, you know, it's a couple of weeks, but talk is that he's
you back. Never had a hamstring, Mark, could you?
No.
Never went quick enough.
Dr. Khan used to say to me, like, you know, he said, you'd be up on the table getting a rub down, and he'd say to the masseur, did you find any fast switch fibres inside in those hamstrings?
And she says, nothing, Khan.
Nothing, redundant. But I suppose
will he stick or twist with the likes of Richie Hogan, do you think?
Oh, he'll definitely hold him. Not a hope that he stopped him. Not a chance.
Right.
No. He's guaranteed a performance from Richie Hogan coming off the bench, in my opinion. I think it's going to be intriguing. I think Billy Ryan would be in that starting 15 if he's fully fit. The way Martin Keown and John Donnelly played the last day, they'll certainly be starting, because that's the kind of fella that Brian Cody will pick, a fella that he knows he can depend on, that'll do the hard work earlier on. I think the one fella who might be under pressure is Walter Welch. I'm not impressed with his performances so far this year, but I would say if he's looking at the Waterford team, I think he'll look at the full back line in the Waterford team, and he'll say to himself, like, Ian Kenny, Conor Prunty and Shane McDulty, are they capable of holding TJ Reid, Colin Fenley, Owen Cody the last, or a Richie Hogan or a Billy Ryan? There's five fellas there now that in the course of the 70 minutes they're going to have to come up against. I think if Shane Fives is available for Waterford, I think he will start. And I'd say there's a good chance that if TJ Reid is playing in the full forward line, I could see Shane Fives, Mac and TJ Reid, and I could see Conor Prunty picking up Colin Fenley. But I think I don't see Richie Hogan starting, even though he's definitely good enough for the team. There's no question doubt about that. But I think if he's required to come off the bench, I think that is where he will be found at his best. And like you'd have to say that Kilkenny from the last day, you know, they have massive options. They definitely have a 20-man team at the moment now. And that includes the backs as well. So, like, I looked at the Leinster's, the first round against Dublin, Richie Leahy, Conor Brown and Martin Keown didn't start. They all played the last in the Leinster, and they were all excellent. Like, Richie Leahy went off injured, so the big question is whether he's going to be available. But I've one man left out of the fantasy team, Anthony, not going to be making a change until maybe Saturday. And I'm holding it for someone, I think, like, in fairness to Kilkenny, they always announce their team and they don't announce dummy teams. So I think we'll have a better impression of what's going to happen. But no better man than Brian Cody to, you know, to put players in different positions to see out weaknesses. And I just think, I mean, I love the half-back line for Waterford, Caelan Nines, Tadhg Na Buchan and Kevin Moore, and Jamie Bannon in front of him is hauling out of his skin. Jack Dillon got a massive shift out of him the last day. I think Conor Gleeson actually did enough, Anthony, to maybe possibly replace Jack Prendergast, possibly. Yeah. I see Jack Fagan playing a former Meath player, but he brings a bit of hardness to it and physicality. Jack, I didn't think Jack was great, and I think Conor Gleeson has a lot of experience at this level. I'd be surprised if he doesn't start at the weekend.
Yeah, I know, and I was surprised to see him as far forward as he was. And you could certainly do with that last fantasy player doing well for you where you're stationed at the moment in the fantasy league, anyway, you know. We'll be looking for an improvement next year, actually, overall, that everybody must hit a certain standard on the fantasy team, you know. But
well, I've only eyes for one position now, Dela, all right? Second last, Dela, is
there relegation?
Well, look, there's a wooden spoon anyway that has been donated by, as you saw in the video, there's a beautiful little wooden spoon, Hurley. And it's either, I'd say, going to De La Salle or a Loch and Gales or to Killa. But Killa are definitely in
the position.
We'll touch on that. Hoagie, just want to ask you, right? They've had 2 weeks with Kilkenny, right? Cody never fails to amaze me. Like, you know, I've done battle with him often enough to know that he's just a genius, really, on the line, and the way he has re-evolved as well over the years. But like, they'd probably definitely have had one, if not two, good training matches over the weekend. Let's say maybe Friday and Sunday, whatever, of last week. That'd be the norm, wouldn't it, when you have the 2 week and you need to keep sharp. Like, if Richie Hogan showed up really well in those games, like, I know I can hear Mark, and probably would be my instinct as well to hold him. He made such an impact on the Galway game. But is it the way with Cody that he picks the best 15? And if Richie maybe destroyed Conor Delaney, I'm not saying he did, no, I don't know anything about it, or who was on who, or maybe he had two brilliant games, one on Joey Holden, one on Paul Murphy, that he would start the game, that he'd want to start, being Richie Hogan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Richie definitely wanted to start. That goes without saying, you know.
I'd say so, too.
I mean, he's clearly been showing serious form for him to be brought in the Leinster final to try and turn it. You know, it was Brian wouldn't play... sentiment won't play a huge part in Brian's decision making, you know, and just because Richie was a great player for the last couple of years, he's obviously showed enough. So if he's carried that form into the last 2 weeks, or at least anyway, they'll probably have had two solid good training sessions where they've probably hopped off each other. It's quite possible that he'll go, you know, he'll look at starting him. I'd be surprised. I'd be along the same lines. I don't think physically Richie, you know, and I'm not basing that on anything other than the previous couple of years and, you know, what he's been able to do with the club, that 70 minutes is definitely, I don't think he is not in his legs. So I'd be surprised if he didn't, you know, he didn't use him coming in with 20, 25 minutes to go from that perspective. But, you know, again, I think he would have looked at the match last weekend and you mentioned it, the full back line. I wouldn't be surprised if they target, you know, that insofar as putting TJ in there, trying to come up with some sort of plan to move Ty De Burka, even if it's only, you know, a couple of yards out of space or, you know, with runners or whatever, and go for the juggler early, you know, it's the you know, it's go for the, you know, hit the hammer or whatever the saying that Tomás O'Shea had over the years.
But hammer the hammer.
That's hammer the hammer. There you go. Because, you know, there's definitely, I won't say a weakness, but the Clare showed, you know, that there's an opportunity there with high balls in, you know, with Shanahan. And look, we're obviously with the lads, and no, particularly TJ, you know, they only need one or two balls. You know, if they get an early goal or two, you know, puts the seeds out in water big time. And it's, you know, they're chasing the game then. And when you're chasing the game, you know, it means that Ty De Burka has to push up a bit, and then that's going to play into Kilkenny's hands. So it'd be interesting. That first 10 minutes, to TJ's point, you know, we're watching it from the TV, but I'd love to see, you know, someone can tell us kind of just what way things are kind of settling down in the first 10 minutes to see what way Kilkenny are approaching. But I'd be surprised if they don't have something planned in that regard.
Dello, the four best teams on form are definitely in the semi-finals, which is always good in any competition. Kilkenny are slight favourites, 4-6. I think there's one key stat sticking out of the four teams that are left, right? In just two games, Kilkenny have more goals in five scored than the other three. Like Waterford had four goals scored, Limerick only have three goals scored, Galway have four goals scored. So I think what Brian is alluding to there, right? No doubt, right? I think Kilkenny and Cody will be hunting goals here. I think strategically, he will be looking for a position for TJ Reid. Someone like Walter Walsh, Colin Fennelly, those guys will be crucial for Kilkenny. So I think, like, for me on that, I will be giving Kilkenny the nod. I think they're entitled to be favourites of 4-6. I didn't think they were brilliant in the last final, but they won. Their ability to get goals bails them out hugely a lot of the time, and I think it'll be a major factor the weekend.
Yeah, look, I think the same. I think if they get ahead, and I think Hoagie has put steered us right that way, and look, we probably suspected that they would go for that early, but if they can get ahead it's a different position for Watford compared to the last day. And you know, I think the likes of Hutchinson does an unknown quantity here. Like, if this fella could show up with a massive 2-2 day, anything could happen. But I would be giving the nod to Kilkenny as well, just the stage we're at to get to the All-Ireland final. And I'd be inclined to go along with you, TJ. Mark, would you give your neighbours down there the nod?
I'm a big fan of the Waterford team, to be fair, and I've been a fan for them for a while now.
You have,
De Burke is definitely one of the best defenders in the game currently. Like, we talk about Dahi Burke, we talk about Garrod McInerney, but they're big physical strong whores, like, you know. Yeah, Bucker's strong, but by Jesus, he got some hauling left and right. Mm. And he's like
Pace a man as well. Pace.
Yeah, he's like a man possessed at the moment. He will be targeted by Kilkenny. Like, they are going to go at him physically. And I don't know whether they're going to pull him off or trying to get him off the edge of the D and stuff like that. Like, but they're going to go at him physically. There's no question at all about that. And
you've mentioned all along, Mark, that you thought TJ's best spot was 11, like.
Oh, definitely. Oh, in my opinion.
And is that a case of hammer to hammer, like?
Yeah, like, and I don't think TJ Reid was too happy in the Leinster final now, and he stayed inside in the full forward line for most of the game. He didn't look a happy camper. And the one opportunity came to him then, of course, pure class. He strolled in for the goal, like, just, and that's an assassin of a forward that you have in TJ Reid. But, like, TJ Reid has played all his best hurling in the half forward line, where he's not at 100% flat out pace, where he can drift around at 95% with a great touch. Like, it will cause a problem for Waterford if TJ Reid is placed as centre forward. But I can also see the aerial bombardment. And maybe this is where if they hold Billy Ryan and hold Richie Hogan, well, then Walter could end up inside in the full forward line, quite possibly. Yeah. And then have John Donnelly on one side and have Massey Keown on the other side. And like what Walter did against Johnny Cohn a number of years ago, where he was picked on the Friday night and nobody knew who he was. And they lumped the ball in on top of Johnny Cohn and he got 1-3 off him and got men of the match. So there's a lot of things.
I wouldn't rule out Colin in there. He had a bad game the last day, Colin. He has been a great target man, full forward. Like,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Colin Finley will bounce back, lads, won't he?
There's no fear. Look, and I think even playing TJ centre forward, it's a bit like what Clare did with Tony Kelly. You know, if TJ plays centre forward, he's going to start picking off points from long range, which is going to force Tadhg Na Burka or Liam Cahill to make a decision. Do I push Tadhg Na Burka out marking him, which he doesn't want to do? He wants Tadhg to be able to sweep around. You know, so they're going to have to start moving players and changing, which then is going to create that space inside. For as you say, you know, it could be Wally, could be Colin. You know, it depends. They have the personnel. I suppose it's not just the one guy they need under a high ball. They've got a couple of options.
I was going to say, Hogan, can you give us any sort of an insight as to Cody in the dressing room now before a game like this? Like, are we getting, like, what will be his kind of, I was going to say, his pre-match last few words before you hit the field to play at Waterford?
Most of his talking is done on the Friday night, to be honest, TJ. Kind of the format we would have done, like, you know, you go up to the Arcarla after the training session on the Friday night, there's the board is there and he just names the team. It's already written. He pulls back the page and he goes through it line by line, just kind of what he's looking for. And then it's very much the players on the day of the match, you know, and I kind of spoken about this, you know, he's very good at kind of, I suppose, you know, he has these kind of lieutenants, if you like, you know, there'll be four or five guys there. Now it's an open floor if anyone wants to talk or whatever, and different players are more vocal and they can be, but he'll have these guys there, you know, but he'll go around to every player individually as they're talking out. And what he's very good at doing is making you feel like you're invincible. You know, he'll go around and because I suppose the persona that he carries, all it is a look, you know, it's a look and a hand on the shoulder and telling you, just go take it over. And he's staring at you, staring through you, you know, that kind of thing. And you're like, no, water, I'm going to fucking, you know. That's the way he approaches it. You know, and we go out into the warm-up area and he'll say a few words, but it'll be the players that step in, you know, and as the teams have evolved, it's been a different set of players who will take it on. But yeah, most of his, I suppose, talking would be done on the Friday night. It's funny, one match I do remember, I always remember that really stood out, where he actually took the thing by the reins at half time in a match and said, told lads, sit down and shut up, you know, I'm talking. Was actually Limerick down in Turles.
I think it was the day Richie Power got a couple of clatters there. It was away at McNamara.
He was stretched. He was stretched off.
But it was the All-Ireland's quarter final. It was I was injured the same day. I was up in the stand, and we knew at halftime we were in serious bother. You know,
Shefflin got a goal that brought you back into it.
He did. Got the ball, he kind of lobbed it over. I think it was a nicky goal. But that match, we were in serious bother at halftime. I knew, and we went in, and one of the players, you know, went to try and grab it by the reins, which is what Brian likes to see. But I think he even knew himself, no, this needs a different course of action, and had to take control. But that was one of the few occasions I remember, you know, where he was more vocal in the dressing room.
You'll only get it here, lads, on the Irish Examiner Renault Hurling Podcast, the insight into Mr. Cody. And were you playing that day, TJ?
No, I'd say that was probably 12 or 13, I'd say. I was well cooked by that stage, Dillo, I'd say.
You should have been anyway after dealing with me the late 90s there. They had to put up the picture of the programme there during the week. Three rounds by feature in the National League. Can you remember the match?
No, my memory of
those. I can't remember that.
No, I can't. No, I think Dale, you would anyway. You'd certainly be talking about the current day referees. You've been a lot of bother, I'd say. You'd be getting a lot of talking.
I would not. I would maybe with this new microphone thing that Cormac Costello got in that for whatever he said. I'd have been in bother with that stuff, all right? But there was always a crowd there, thank God. So, Ogie, we won't ask you. You'll be going for your own boys anyway. We think Kilkenny to move through, I suppose, in a great, like, but we wouldn't be surprised now.
Walford are not going to lie down. And even if Kilkenny go to the front, right, and they'll try and hit you with goals and stuff like that, I don't think this present Walford team are going to roll over to them at all.
I'm just wondering, Dillo, is week three a factor for the couple of teams, which could come into play a small bit? Like, their game is built at high energy, massive work rate, massive fitness. It just might be a small factor towards the end of the game also.
And look, we've two teams in that position this weekend.
But Walford played in Parky Queeve, and I don't think it'll take as much out of their legs as what it will take out of Galway's legs, having played in the Gaelic grounds.
They look extremely fit as well, don't they? Like, they were going stronger than the Clare boys. Now, Clare boys were on week three, of course. But they were powering on at the end of it.
What if we're after a very hard game, Anthony, for the week before?
Munster final.
I mean, there's no more physical team. And, like, there has been fierce physical battles in all the games so far this year. But the ground surface of the ground makes an awful difference, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, Sunday is mouth-watering as well, and for all other reasons as well. Like, you know, just an incredible matchup. The 2018 final, the 2017 champions, the 2018 champions. Galway not coming out of Leinster then last year, and everyone saying it was just caught on the day, even if Wexford or Kilkenny had won that drawn match down in Wexford, I think. They'd have got through, and people have been waiting for this match, like, really. And I suppose with Micheál Donoghue going off the scene, there was a wonder, would there be change in Galway? But Jesus, Shane O'Neill has really impressed me, lads, with his coolness, his decisiveness on the line. Even his talk after the Leinster final, his interview. Do you know the way he did it? He said, frustration. No, not frustration. Uh-huh. He said, no, we look at it. We look at it coolly, and we have a massive one now next week. And just like, it's probably very measured right through, and very impressed with him as an individual. Obviously, had it all done with the Pierce and one of their own as well, doing it with them. And this is probably a lot of people out there, lads, would feel if Limerick are to be beaten, this was the crowd that could beat them in terms of mano and the physique and the speed and everything that it has. And for some ways, it might be a bit of a defining game for a 4 or 5 year period, like, in some ways, you know. It's mouth-watering, isn't it? And
it's incredible, Dillo. All the matchups that you can think of, right? Is Dahi going to pick up Gillan, Cooney, Hegarty, Fintan, Tom Morrissey, possibly Sean Finn, Conor Whelan? They're all over the place. Keane
Lynch, not to mention Kyle Hayes, Joe Kenning.
Kyle Hayes, yeah. Like, it's everywhere, right? And even the whole, like, Joe Kenning and Gillan, both of them kind of real sharpshooters. Just a phenomenal game coming up. You have to add in the Shane O'Neill factor. A huge amount of the Pearson involvement in this Limerick team. He'd know all the Limerick players exceptionally well.
it's a big game for the
Would you be better off not knowing him, TJ?
Yeah, sometimes.
Someone said that he'll know him. He'll know him like the back of his hand. I said, you might be as well off not knowing him.
No, and I would say Shane knows Kinnark fairly well too. And like, I would say Shane has been at every Limerick Championship game over the last number of years, and he'll understand the system. And I thought that Galway broke the Wexford system very well first day out. Now, whether that was their effectiveness of the system or whether Wexford were poor, it turns out the Wexford were poor afterwards, but they still nailed it and kind of got around it very, very quick, right? And even the last day against Tipperary, let's say, when they conceded the goal, they jumped into David Burkett's sweeper straight away. They jumped into a new system. They changed up in the second half. So there's a lot of flexibility there. So they will be well prepped and well ready for this. Now, at the other side of it, like Limerick are to peak of their powers, great Munster champions, league champions, everything they would have wanted. Fell at the semi-final stage last year. Like, I was looking at the stats. Galway have 3 games played. They have 474 scored. Limerick have 3 games played. They have 384 scored. Galway have 461 conceded in 3 games. Limerick have 361 conceded in 3 games. It is exceptionally tight. There's just massive players. What I will say about this Galway team is the potential is in there. So if they hit the A game, if they're on the money, they have the forwards to shoot the lights out. So it's in there. But go back to what you said at the start. Intriguing written. We need any way you can get us into Croke Park.
I'll tell you, if I could get in myself, Baird, the HSE won't let me in. I think I might be all right on Sunday if I could,
okay.
somehow get a gig. But I suppose it's hard for the boys in RTE planning their lineups for the weekend when I'm only free on Sunday and I need to be symptom free then for 3 or 4 days. But anyway, but Mark, to look at Limerick, I suppose we've talked a good bit about Galway like from last week. Like, can you see Kiley shaking it up? You know, the last day he went with David Reedy centre, he left Kyle in the halfback line. He left off Darragh Donovan and he went to David Reedy centre forward. Could you see something like Gillen not operating maybe on Dahi Burke and maybe bringing back in Shemmy Flanagan, who did a fair job 2 years ago?
Yeah, Shemmy Flanagan is excellent now and he's been brilliant coming off the line for them. I don't think John Kiley will tinker too much with his team, Anthony. I think there's 2 potential changes from what I see. Is potentially Richie English going to be fit to start in this match? If he is, I see Richie English coming in full back. I see Dan Morrissey going to wing back, and I see Kyle Hayes going up to centre forward, which I think gives them, which gives Limerick a real good balance to their team. If Richie English is not fit, I can see Cian Lynch going to centre forward. I don't think David Reedy will start. I think Darragh Donovan will come in the middle of the field, and they'll leave well enough alone. It seems like a very, I won't say safe, it's probably just a tried and tested scenario now, which the likes of Shemmy Flanagan coming off the line, and could we see Pat Ryan coming in? He didn't see a whole pile of action the last day, so I think we don't know whether Richie English is going to be fit, but he was on the panel the last day, so I would expect when a fella is picked on the panel, he will be available for selection. So there's a big decision there for them to make. If Richie English does start, well, I would definitely be playing Conor Whelan inside full forward on him then, because I think Conor Whelan has savage pace. There's way more in him.
Surely Limerick will say Sean Finn and Conor Whelan, and they'll have the choice with the defender.
Yeah, but you have Brian Kilcannon, who's going to be ahead. Niall Burke and Conor Cooney. They have a handful like Barry Nash. You know, who's he going to pick up? I think you can play Sean Finn fullback. But yeah. I think, you know, would have preferred to play Richie in the corner. It's pie in the sky at the moment because we don't know whether Richie English is going to be.
Yeah, come on, TJ. Spill the beans there, will you? They, like Hoagies after telling us that, like, they would have had 2 hard games. Like, so. Yeah, but Hoagies after telling us, you know, come on. What's the talk?
I actually don't think Hoagie told us anything. But anyway, I give him my opinion.
He learned.
That's what happens. You spend a decade with Cody.
Walk away and say nothing.
I don't know the answer to the Richie English question, but my honest opinion here is, right, this is a man that is cruciate in February, right? And like, it's a massive ask. And like, I've been involved with a couple of lads who came back from cruciate injuries, like Fintan Burke, the most recent one, right? Like, it has to be gradual. I think to go as a manager, to go to a doc and say, is this man ready for 70 minutes championship hurling? I think that most docs will be slow, Dale. You'll know that yourself. Like, you know, this is get back into a club game, get a league game, get a bit of a game under your belt. Like, could he be called on for 10 minutes? I just cannot see the possibility of Richie English starting. I can definitely see Darragh Donovan definitely figuring at the start. I think it's a game tailor-made for him. But for me, the Richie English, I would say, and this is, I have no facts on any situation, I would say no, he won't start.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and you wouldn't see too many changes to the inside line either then? Like, you think Gillan will go in on Dahi Burke?
I think like Gillan has been leading that line to perfection there for the last number of years. I think, like, look, I said this before, but Kinnock doesn't, like, the overall system won't change a whole lot. It's definitely very much built around Gillan being on the inside line. I don't want to see that changing.
It was a bit like Nan Mark and Tony Kelly, Hoggy. They stuck to their own system and you know, hit 36 points.
Yeah, I think, again, that's something I've always kind of thought of, and it's something we would have done, is back yourselves. You know, Limerick have shown they've been the best team in the country. They're, you know, they fear no one. You know, why should we start picking our team? Okay, if there's a very obvious thing, or if it's a very, you know, clear cut tactical thing, but, you know, back yourselves. This team, like, as you mentioned, Gillan has shown that he can lead that line better than anyone. Why would you move him for fear that he's marking X, Y, or Z? You know, sit out your stall. I think Darragh Donovan in midfield. I think Keane Lynch going centre forward is an obvious one, you know, because what Keane Lynch can bring you from that position. But they're picking their team based on what they want to do, you know, rather than what they think Galway are going to bring. And I agree. I think, Jesus, making a decision to bring Richie English in, like, whatever about bringing a guy in at any level, or at this level, coming back from a cruciate with no game time apart from maybe a training session or two is a huge call, you know. And then in the backs in particular, like, you know, it's in the forwards, you know, if he misses the ball, it's okay, you get the next one kind of to a certain extent. But Jesus, I think it possibly sent out the wrong signal as well to the likes of Barry Nash and these guys that we trust you up to a point, you know. But I'd be very surprised if
he's a guy that said is a ferocious leader in the group, TJ. From what I know of him, and you know him better, but when I know Richie, like, be desperate honesty about him there. I remember being over the minors and he was just gone in a year and he came in doing the water. Joe McKinnon asked him, and Richie came in doing the water. I remember saying, what are you doing here, Richie? Like, yeah, just doing the old water, Dale. I'll be around the back with the backs there. He says, I'll do the water. You know, a good guy. I'd say he called it himself as well, TJ. And that's
I think
he does declare himself 100% to go, he'll go. Like.
Yeah, I think that's why you'd have him in there, because he's a great lad around the setup. Like, but I still don't see him starting, though. Like, yeah. Like, are we look at the possibility here of a sweeper-ish system from Galway? I think today will probably follow the likes of Gerard Hegarty and Tom Morrissey. And I'd say it could be little bit like what Waterford did in the Munster final, but I'd say we see something similar here in much of those matchups, and then they'll have a sweeper. One thing as well, Dale, I'm not sure what your view on this is. I did think that Joe Canning was starting to come. There's definitely signs here that he's starting to hit peak form. He could be a key player. I think if they get, if it's a Joe Canning day, I think on Sunday, with the way the rest of the forwards, Cannon, Conor Whelan, and these boys kind of coming, the way they've come to the table, I think if we get a Joe Canning day, it could be enough to swing a Galway's way.
Yeah, he could find it hard, I think, if they leave Kyle there. Like, Jesus, he's just so fast, so strong. Like, Joe has all the touch, all the brains, all the experience. You know, I'm not, they're different type of players, but I think at this stage of his career, be a tall order for him. I think he might like drifting out into the middle, picking up balls.
Yeah. Sticking out, Mark. And Limerick won't change.
Dermot Burns will be number five all year long, and he'll be supplying ball up the field. Like, and all of a sudden, if you're marking Joe Kenning, are you facing a situation? I can't give this for 5 or 6 yards, because if he does, he'll ping 3 or 4 points off of me all day long. Niall Burke didn't start the last day, TJ. He started the final. What's the story there? Is he available
he's available, yeah. And I don't know this for sure, but my belief is that even the changes at halftime weren't injury related. I said they were actual changes. So I do believe that they are all available. I think David Burke will start.
I can see Parig Manning going back cornerback instead of Shane Cooney. I think he'd be a fierce help in the full back line beside Dahi Burke, because I think if you can shut down Gillan, like the Limerick half forward are going to drift away back and they're going to try and arrow balls into Gillan as much as possible. I can see, like, I would be picking David Burke in the middle of the field now with Johnny Cohen and putting Mannion back cornerback, in my opinion.
I probably wouldn't see that. I think you're hard on Shane Cooney as well, but there, Mark. One or two balls. I know this
back,
isn't...
Go back to the match against Tipperary.
This isn't Paroquet alone in terms of weapons and balances.
Is he St. Thomas's, is he?
Yeah, but
he's a centre back.
He's a centre back.
You know,
his use of one or two balls there, yeah, he went to the cash, right? But he was man marking Jason Ford, right? And Ford didn't do a whole lot in the game. I think he might have got 1 point from play. So overall, I think he might be a little bit harder than him. I don't want to see any major change there for Galway. I think that David Burke was out in the middle of the field. He could go into that sweeper role. So
I think looking at the David Burke one, and again, it comes back to, it's very hard to see it from the TV.
Yeah.
But my sense of it was, like, he was coming back to play that kind of sweeper role, and like, his distribution of ball is incredible. Like, he's the sweetest striker of ball, as you'll see. But just in one or two passages of play, when the ball was delivered in, I felt there was too much distance between David and where the ball was actually being delivered to. You know, so as a sweeper, as a guy, you want to be close to where that ball is breaking, that you're getting onto it. I just felt he was too far. He's too separated from the play when it was in there. Fine when he got on the ball, he was coming out, he was spraying it and that kind of thing. But possibly that may have been a decision they made at half time, was to try and take him off, because, you know, what they were looking for in terms of that kind of sweeper, you know, that they wanted someone that was going to be closer to the action, kind of hoovering up more of that ball. It was just something I know.
I think Tádhg Mannion probably a better option to do that job if they're going doing it, you know.
Yeah.
You probably are allowing Hannon maybe do his own thing then at the other end, and you were saying, right, we've Tádhg Mannion, one of the best defenders in the country, let's face it, doing it for us, and a role for David Burke in his natural midfield role.
Yeah. I think that could be the game of the year. I think Limerick will shade it, obviously, with my hand in my heart. So I'm curious as to what your three calls are on this one. I'll go four calls even. We'll include Larry.
I think
unmute yourself there, Larry.
I think, TJ, this is a bit like the deaf dog.
It is.
I haven't won the call. you're dead right. Like, it potentially could be the game of the year. I think for me, a lot will depend on how Galway have recovered from the match last weekend. If they're fully recovered and they play like they played in the Leinster final, I think they could turn over Limerick this weekend. I think shutting down the ball going into Galway will be the first and foremost thing. I wouldn't underestimate what Shane O'Neill is actually going to bring to the Galway setup in knowing the Limerick's Limerick game plan like the back of his hand. I've no doubt Limerick are the best team in the championship, and I think they've been favourites from day one. But I think if Galway are recovered enough, this one is going to go to the wire without a doubt.
And
okay,
no, one second. What did Mark say? He was on the fence a little.
It's going to go to the wire, but Limerick, is it?
If it goes to the wire and Galway is shut down, I think Galway will win it.
You're going for Galway win, so okay, that's grand. Hoggy,
yeah, I think. Like we mentioned, there's massive matchups across the park in this game. Like there isn't in the other match. I think there was a semi-finals that showed, it's like you can't be one trick pony. You can't have one focal point of your attack. You have, you know, all four teams have threats across the park. They're all able to score goals. And I think that in itself is going to lead to two great matches. I think this match, I think the pitch is going to suit it's going to suit the foreside, but it's going to lead to a great match, because you're going to be out in Croke Park. The wide expanse is going to allow the class forwards that are on display to really go and express themselves, rather than, no disrespect, but slogging through the bog down in Limerick Gaelic grounds or in any of the regional grounds. I'll include any of the other regional grounds like that as well. But when you're talking November, when you're up in Croke Park, you know, it's a different surface. So I think that's going to lend itself to a massive battle. But I do think I pick Limerick from the outset, and I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise. I think they're the strongest team in the championship. I think the 3 weeks, we mentioned it with Waterford, I think it's the same with Galway. I think that 3 weeks on the trot coming in against a team as powerful as this Limerick side, I think ultimately would probably, you know, be the difference when it comes down to the final stretch, you know. So I'm going to go with Limerick in that match as well.
So, Foggy, Larry, call the finalists there for me, will you?
Limerick, Limerick by 28 points to 3-16.
Just make up, add up that there, Larry. Sees Italian.
Is that add up, does it? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Larry, you have the Limerick defence in all sorts of troubles, but still scoring massive.
God, we have the taste for goals now.
Okay, you'll just have to buy the paper on Saturday to discover what I met, lads, on this one. But
Dale, come on. You can't leave us hanging. You can't let the pod listeners hanging, Dale. Come on.
I've been hugely impressed, I think, by both the new managers. And I didn't think the new managers would really have much chance with the system. Hugely impressed with O'Neill, I have to say. His backroom staff, you know, everything they've done. But I just think this Limerick machine is ready. And I think the heart of last year's semi-final will stand to them in the final because I think they'll have enough to get over the. I think it was all about getting back to this day for Kylie. I think Munster was great and all, but they had that done. The league's done. It was about getting back to this day, and I don't expect them to let the chance slip now. I know Richie English thing and down Mike Casey as well out of there has been a question all year. I think they've given us answers against, you know, let's say three of their biggest rivals, like in that way, you know. So I think the little break, everything will be ready. I think English will be ready to maybe come in and do something, maybe to shore up somebody to come in if a Concannon is going very well or something like that. He come in and do a job. And yeah, I just think Limerick, that if Kyle Hayes, I was against it, I'd say, and I might be changing. I think they might leave him there now as a kind of a wall half-back line. And I find it hard to see Galway getting a huge amount of change there. I think the possibility of the Darragh Donovan and Cian Lynch to go in on Garrod McInerney, I don't think Garrod would be in love with picking up, obviously, one of the best players in the country, but just the way he plays, the distance he moves, the link-up play, just give Limerick the nod on that. But I've been so impressed with Galway. I mean, Galway could be here in the other semi-final now, being Leinster champions, realistically. Yeah. And gone straight through after dismantling Wexford and beating Kilkenny. It looked for a long time like they would. So we'd have been on about the dream final if they make it. But it's not. It's coming to us this Sunday anyway, whether it's final or semi-final. So it's massive. But I will give the nod for a Limerick-Kilkenny final. And look, sure, I just can't wait for the weekend. It's Christmas coming early for all of us here. We wish both referees the best of luck as well. We don't want to spend the first 20 minutes talking about rugby tackles or anything like that, like this week. So that's great week. Obviously, it's a huge week for everybody in fantasy hurling as well. It's your last chance. You have five transfers, lads, and you can change your captain by making your five transfers and then change your captain. That won't cost you a transfer. So obviously, you know, you said at the start yourselves that it was a marathon, not a sprint. And obviously the cream was coming to the top as well in our own little mini league as well, Larry. You know Donald Burke to fall back on now, which you got the tip off from there early on here.
Yeah.
That's a real tip on that when they've nothing to say. Yeah. Three words, yeah. No, look, it is, but I'm watching the fella in third as well, I'll have to say. I feel secure enough in the bottom three that you know, I'm going to be in Europe all right for next year, but whether I'll come out on top. I'd be fearing Gary Spillane because there's a big selection committee down there.
There is.
Are the meetings over? Or have you settled on a team?
We had a meeting last night and we are making final calls on Friday night. The captain is going to be the huge call for everybody out there because it's double points. You need to play the two games. That's the key call. The only thing that came up last night was because we only have five picks and I think I have about seven or eight players and I'm going to have two or three people that won't be playing over the weekends. The call that the youngest Cormac made last night was that we should leave Tony Kelly in. There's still a possibility he might score.
Well, I thought the very same when I was accepted him down as midfield.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like for you, Hoggy, like it's a big one, Hoggy, because you've 97 points to spare with three games left, except now we've no replays, of course, has to finish on the day over Mr. Landers. You're in a very strong position unless you go completely like, well, I have a feeling Landers might gamble on a Galway captain, you know, because after tipping him now to be in the final, and that would be one that would catch out the rest of us.
Don't begin with ideas, Dale.
I don't know what Derek's thinking is.
Don't begin with ideas, Dale. Let him off, will you?
I might be throwing him off as well then by giving him ideas, you see, you know.
Any chance you might get Hoagie's captain? Who's your Hoagie? TJ Reid, I suppose. Sure,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe not changing that.
Or maybe Conall Finlay.
No, TJ, no, I've made my five changes. Unfortunately, I have a couple of guys that are not going to be playing. Just
get on the laptop straight away there, Mark, and see what changes he's making, will you?
I need some serious action.
So that's the way to go, Mark, because go with Galway and gamble, because you're in such a bad position. You need to gamble, kid. But the way you're gambling at the moment, everything is coming off you, like.
I tell you now, Dela, are you going to have a Kevin Keegan moment here before the end of the year? I would love to finish in second.
If I don't finish last. You might win the FA Cup, though.
Yeah, I think you need better than a 6-4 chance here, no, Mark. You need a bit of something that a working man's prize, don't you? You need something to promote. Yeah. Dela, can I give a shout out to a couple there? Evan O'Connor is top of the juvenile section. He's a Gary Splann, young fella. I said it before. Just, he's picked an incredible team. He obviously... As I said, he's one definitely for a future manager for us. And the other one is Monaline, the under 10 guys there, their GA. They're second in the club section. And Bernard was on to be there. I think they had some of the group and the selectors and the manager involved in the overall selection as well. So getting a good kick out of it. And obviously know their stuff too, because they're in second position.
Jeez, you want to win everything this year, like, don't you? You've just gone hungry out. You're bullying you didn't win the football now as well, like.
Well, we kind of came from a low base there for a number of years. Now that we're kind of climbing the steps, we like it. We want to stay there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Fair play. Shout out as well, lads. We have to say on our listeners' league, Kieran McKillian, top, an incredible score of 1,166 points, followed in 6 points by Gerard Grogan, who's a club mate of mine. I have two clubs, like Clarecastle and Shannon Gales. But he's out here in the West with me. Garoda always does well. And they are first and second on the overall leaderboard as well, lads. So shout out to the podcasters or the listeners of the podcast. You're topping. Sean DeWay, you got to get on here, lads, and listen to the experts to get your team there. Mark, you can stay out of it there. but you saw the video, lads. Beautiful Hurley and two boxes from... Moran Hurley's in Westmead. I put him up there. There's a wooden spoon in there as well. Like that'll be a special present to you, and I tell you, for the end of the year, hopefully.
That'll be for a Christmas party there, though, is it?
Yeah. And probably in March.
Are Hoggy and Derek coming to that as well?
That's all in. Tony Lean is paying for everything there, Larry, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. We might have a t-shirt as well to throw into the mix there. We're working on something over the next couple of weeks. Great stuff.
Yeah, Butler's Hurleys, who were the first team to say. So we've prizes coming from Butler's galore as well, and something for the juniors. And I bought a Clare jersey, TJ, the other day. A young fella's jersey. For a great cause being run by Jez Kelly there, in but she had a clear one. Got this girl that's battling chemo now at the moment, 9-year-old girl. She a jersey from every county was what, but it was gone in. So I said we might keep it as a prize for this as well. So we look at great interest. There's great buzz out of it as well, and I haven't done any studying yet. I just feel there's no need to rush into any of it. I feel you can just relax, take your time. Open a bottle of red wine Friday night, relax, sit down, go through where the you know, and come up with that little gem that'll put you over the line. Who is he? I'm not sure. I've got four or five in mind, but it's picking him will be crucial, Mark.
I just I've made a few transfers already now. Can I switch out the transfers already that I've already done?
No,
they're nil. I've one left, and that's going to be the key one now. I just waiting for the teams to be announced on Friday night.
Yeah. This being Thursday, that might be your wisest move as well. You don't make any mistakes. Find the horses or anything like that.
Okay. TJ, I see number 26 there on the Galway panel. A young fella by the name of Sean Blaheen. Is he a son of the crowd that buy the store horses, the foals, and sells them in stores, the Blaheens?
Jeez, Mac, I can't neither confirm nor deny. I don't actually know. I do know the Blaheens, and obviously they have sold on plenty of really, really good horses. I know that.
Absolutely,
I know that
side, right?
Put him in your fancy team.
I was just dropping that to you, Hoggy, in case you got one, like, you know.
Johnny, I can say he's a good hurler anyway, Mac, if you want to.
He is, definitely. Good player for UCG, I tell you. Yeah, he's one they're looking to. A bit like Concannon. It could be next year, though, so I wouldn't be rushing him into my fantasy team this week. If I have, if you're having Whelan, I'd be sticking in Whelan, maybe.
I know. Just before you go, just on a kind of a sad note, I buried a very good friend of mine, Tom O'Brien, from Killer recently in the last week, since we were talking in the last pod, and he's the man that brought me to Croke Park for the first time when I was 11 years of age. Single man, non-drinker, non-smoker. Loved the hurling, loved the racing, and we had great, great years. And on that day, he introduced me to Michal O'Hare coming out of the stadium, and he knew exactly where he was going to come from. He was commentating on the game, and just to give out a shout to his family and his friends that he'll be sadly missed in the village of Killer.
Nice touch, Mark. And, you know, there's been a few tragedies, I suppose, with the GAA. We've seen the minute silences and that over the last few weeks. So, yeah, nice way to end it today, lads. You know, we bigger pictures, we always have the crack and we always want to bring home Liam, and, you know, there's more going on. So, well put, Mr. Landers, even if you do get the wooden spoon, you touch a class there off you at the end of it.
I was going to say to Mark there, in the game that he's in, Mark, you know what the difference between time and money is?
No, tell me.
Everybody knows how much money they have.
Yeah, we'll get the other side of that as well.
Yeah.
Well said, TJ. And look at everyone. Hopefully the weather stays good, lads. We have the best pitch in the country. It's going to be an incredible weekend. Let the games begin, and we'll try and dissect them next week. Good luck from everyone.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.